The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. On this edition of Century, drugs and diplomacy. The United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs held a set of meetings December 4th and 5th, two of which were held in conjunction with the UN's Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, on December 10th, Senator Jeff Merkley, a Democrat from Oregon, spoke on the floor of the Senate regarding a bill he's sponsoring, S-3344, the Prohibiting Unauthorized Military Action in Venezuela Act.
Certainly, Nicolas Maduro is a brutal dictator. His regime has a long history of abusing human rights and crushing political dissent. That is not in question. And that reality demands a consistent, principled foreign policy. But it does not give permission for any president to violate the Constitution of the United States of America that we are sworn to uphold when we come here to serve the American people as senators. Yet President Trump is still threatening these hostilities against Venezuela by deploying a massive force in the Caribbean. That military force, reportedly, as of this moment, includes about 15,000 American troops, including 2,200 Marines, 11 naval warships, including our largest aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald R. Ford, and its strike group. It includes amphibious assault vehicles, and guided missile cruisers, and destroyers, and a submarine. The deployment includes fighter jets, surveillance drones, patrol planes, many of which are based in nearby Puerto Rico, where the U.S. has reopened an old naval base for this operation. The force includes gunships and helicopters and bombers. Military buildups like this take on momentum of their own. A president may hesitate to disperse this buildup lest he look weak and indecisive. And thus, large buildups often result in launching the military action they foreshadowed. My friends, wars are easy to start, but they are hard to end. And the consequences are often devastating. Look at the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Together, more than 7,000 American service members gave their lives. More than 50,000 service members seriously injured, often devastating, lifelong consequences. More than $8 trillion in treasure lost. Launching another reckless war to depose an authoritarian leader in South America is not an America first strategy. And without congressional authorization, it's unconstitutional. The prelude to this military action has been military strikes on boats off the coast of Venezuela. The administration has said they are acting to stop these boats from delivering narcotics. Well, there's a legal way to do that. And then there's an illegal way to do it. The legal way is for the Coast Guard to intercept the boats, to search them, arrest those present should narcotics be found. And the illegal way is to simply blow up boats in international waters. The legal path is the right way to go. The Coast Guard makes arrests, which allow them to collect evidence and information for broader counter-narcotics operations. Destroying boats and killing those aboard means no evidence or information that confers evidence of what was undertaken. Was it even a narcotics operation to begin with? It is either a war crime or it's a murder. It is a violation of our law. It is a violation of international law. We have a stake in the structure of international law because we want our troops to be treated in a right manner, not to be executed when they are out of the action, laying wounded on a battlefield, not to be murdered clinging to a debris after their boat has been blown up. Our military forces don't summarily execute others because we don't want others to summarily execute our forces. That's the principle involved. So the president's extraterritorial, extrajudicial killings in the Caribbean are terrible policy, terrible principles, and a terrible precedent. And we are in a bizarre moment. Bizarre. President Trump, while saying he's trying to intercept drugs, just pardoned the kingpin who organized the narcotic superhighway that delivered 400 to 500 tons of cocaine to the United States of America. Juan Orlando Hernandez of Honduras, former president, convicted on overwhelming evidence of moving massive drugs to the United States of America, pardoned by President Trump. If you want to stop narcotics, you don't go around releasing the kingpins who organized this devastating assault on our nation.
That was Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley speaking from the floor of the U.S. Senate on December 10th in support of his bill S-3344, the Prohibiting Unauthorized Military Action in Venezuela Act. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Now to our top story. The United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs held a set of meetings December 4th and 5th, two of which were held in conjunction with the UN's Commission on Crime Prevention and Criminal Justice. Among the items being discussed were the recommendation by the World Health Organization's Expert Committee on Drug Dependence to retain coca in Schedule 1, rejecting the rescheduling petition which had been brought by Colombia and the plurinational state of Bolivia, and recent military actions by the United States against alleged drug smuggling boats in the Pacific and Caribbean that have resulted in the deaths of several innocent civilians and which the UN's Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights have described as violations of international human rights law. On today's show, we're going to hear some of that discussion. Let's start with the representative of the Bolivian delegation.
Gracias.
Thank you very much, Chair. We express our acknowledgement of your leadership and to the Secretariat for the organization of this resumed session. Distinguished delegates, Bolivia will deliver its statement under agenda item 5A of our agenda. In this regard, my delegation wishes to share the following. The coca leaf, as it grows in its natural state, has been a part of indigenous cultures for millennia. It has been and remains a central element in traditional health systems, in practices, rituals, social relations, and in the daily lives of indigenous peoples and rural communities. Acknowledging this reality is not a political act, it is an act of respect for anthropological evidence, for science, and for the rights of indigenous peoples. At the same time, it is undeniable that the international community faces immense challenges related to illicit cocaine trafficking. Our collective obligation is to combat this crime resolutely through cooperation and shared responsibility. But at the same time, we must ensure the legitimate control of substances and ensure that this does not lead to the unfair criminalization of ancestral practices that do not cause harm, that are protected under instruments such as the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of the Indigenous Peoples. Recently, the Expert Committee on Drug Dependence recommended retaining the coca leaf on Schedule 1 of the 1961 Convention, despite the fact that the committee itself recommended and recognizes that traditional uses of coca leaf do not appear to pose a specific threat to public health, and that its cultural and therapeutic significance is important for indigenous peoples. Moreover, there is robust evidence to support this from the people and government of Bolivia. The report recalls the lack of evidence regarding the damage, documented overdose cases, and the existence of regulated traditional practices under national frameworks. Rather, it replicates the notion that coca leaf must continue to be handled as a threat, disregarding its benefits and properties. Moreover, the committee should recognize the therapeutic potential, at the same time discarding these properties. This underpins the long-standing argument that the current body of evidence does not provide a robust basis and fails to apply the evidence, not using the evidence. There is no evidence for the harmfulness of this coca leaf, which apparently led to its retention on the schedule. This retention continues to promote illegal diversion. The committee acknowledges it poses no adverse threat, but insists on retaining its classification given its potential conversion into cocaine, whereby the plant itself is found responsible for an activity that is carried out by clandestine laboratories, divorcing it from the socioeconomic, political, and historic factors that feed into drugs trafficking, and therefore give rise to a recommendation which is not scientific or health-based in nature. Quite the contrary, rather, it perpetuates stigma that run counter to empirical scientific evidence. A critical review of the coca leaf is a historic opportunity in order to distinguish between the coca leaf in its natural state and the derived substances through chemical illicit processing. It was an opportunity in order to update international policies in light of scientific contemporary knowledge, as well as an opportunity in order to promote a well-balanced, evidence-based, human rights-based, and sustainability-based approach. Bolivia restates its full support for the need to review the technical assessments regarding the impact of the coca leaf, taking into account recent investigation in the areas of nutrition, pharmacology, ethnobotany, in order to ensure that the committee is able to review the complexity of this issue and adopt a fair, well-balanced decision in keeping with international law and science. Thank you, Chair.
That was the representative of the plurinational state of Bolivia speaking December 4th at the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria. Now let's hear from Marie Nouget, head of research and communications at the International Drug Policy Consortium.
I'm making this statement on behalf of the International Drug Policy Consortium and 56 other civil society, community, and indigenous organizations on Agenda Item 5 regarding the outcome of the critical review of the coca leaf by the World Health Organization's Expert Committee on Drug Dependence. We express our profound disappointment at the decision by the ECDD to keep the coca leaf within Schedule 1 of the 1961 Single Convention on Narcotic Drugs. The coca leaf is a plant that has been cultivated and used by indigenous peoples in the Andean Amazonian region for ancestral, religious, cultural, nutritional, and medicinal purposes for millennia. The inclusion of the plant in Schedule 1 of the Single Convention was a historical error based on deeply flawed racist studies and arguments. Dismantling the colonial legacy of the UN drug control regime and aligning international drug policy with human rights, including the rights of indigenous peoples, was a key reason for Bolivia's request to initiate the critical review in the first place. And yet, the ECDD recommendation to keep the coca leaf in Schedule 1 of the Convention fails to redress this historical wrong committed in 1961. It overlooks the millennia of indigenous knowledge of the coca leaf and sidelines the rights of indigenous peoples to self-determination, to the use of their natural resources, and to the preservation of their culture, traditional medicines, and health practices. It also fails to adequately reflect new evidence of the therapeutic, nutritional, and industrial uses of the coca leaf, which are now widespread in the Americas and other parts of the world. Furthermore, the critical review process has given little to no attention to the additional human rights impacts of retaining the coca leaf in the 61 single convention. Today, thousands of families depend on coca leaf and cultivation to survive. Militarization and forced eradication campaigns, especially in fragile ecosystems and indigenous lands, have caused devastating harms for affected communities' rights to safe water, to food security, to health, and to a healthy environment, as well as the right to life, as coca farmers and human rights defenders in cultivation areas have faced violence and death as a result of punitive policies. This critical review process once again showcases the inability of the international drug control system to question the failings of the punitive paradigm, to better align human rights principles, which should be at the core of the UN system as a whole, and to move towards meaningful reforms. In the midst of geopolitical turmoil, a funding crisis, and UN system reform, this was an ideal opportunity for the UN drug control system to show that it can adapt, repair past mistakes, and confront and dismantle colonial legacies. The ECDD has failed to do this and is simply propping up an outdated regime that has so clearly failed to achieve any of its stated objectives. Thank you very much.
That was Marie Nouget, Head of Research and Communications at the International Drug Policy Consortium, speaking December 4th at the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs. Now let's hear from Hernan Vélez, Head of the Indigenous Peoples and Minority Section of the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights.
Excellencies, as the international community undertakes an unprecedented critical review of the coca leaf, a plant that holds deep cultural, spiritual, and medicinal significance for indigenous peoples of the Andean Amazonian region, OACHR would like to recall that for this process to be fair and sustainable, it must be firmly grounded in human rights. For decades, the coca leaf has been stigmatized because of its association with cocaine. This has led to policies that criminalized indigenous peoples and their sacred traditions and restricted ancestral cultural practices, violating indigenous peoples' rights to identity, traditional medicine, and self-determination, as affirmed in the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. This review process is an opportunity to address ongoing discrimination and repair past harms. To succeed, it needs to move beyond narrow scientific or prohibitive approaches and recognize the coca leaf as part of a living cultural heritage and a matter of human rights of indigenous peoples. OACHR emphasizes that any decisions regarding the coca leaf must align with the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, with ILO Convention 169, and other human rights standards. This includes ensuring the free, prior, and informed consent of indigenous peoples at every stage of the process. This also includes ensuring meaningful and inclusive indigenous participation in the review process, particularly women and elders. Their knowledge of the coca leaf's nutritional, medicinal, and ceremonial uses is essential for both cultural preservation and sustainable development. The review should also reflect the guidance of United Nations human rights mechanisms, which have consistently affirmed indigenous people's rights to their traditional medicines, health practices, culture, and natural resources. OACHR urges the Commission on Narcotic Drugs members to place human rights at the center of the review process and decision-making. Doing so is not only a matter of justice, it is a step towards historical reparation, cultural survival, and the full realization of indigenous people's rights. Thank you.
That was Hernan Vales, head of the Indigenous Peoples and Minority Section of the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights, speaking December 4th at the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Now let's hear from the ambassador from the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, Her Excellency Claudia Salerno Caldera.
Gracias, señor.
Thank you very much, Chair. As this is the first time Venezuela has taken the floor, we would like to thank and acknowledge the permanent representatives of India and of Mexico for their work both at this current and past session. My delegation supports the statements that were delivered earlier by the G77 and China, as well as by GRULAC, and wish to share the following in our national capacity. Chair, the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela restates its commitment to addressing and tackling the world drugs problem in keeping with international law, the Charter of the United Nations, and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, with full respect for the sovereignty and territorial integrity of states, and the principle of non-intervention in internal affairs. Chair, the challenges posed by the world drugs problem must be addressed in keeping with the three international drug control treaties, which, while they can be further improved upon, do provide states' parties with a basis in order to design and implement national drugs policies in keeping with their priorities and needs, always based on the premise of the principle of common and shared responsibility, in addition to the inherent dignity of all persons in the design and application of drugs policies. Chair, the mandate that states' parties have handed down through the international drug controls treaties is currently jeopardized as a result of the disproportionate United States military escalation, which is currently threatening peace and security in the Caribbean and in the Pacific Ocean surrounding the South American coastline, as a result of the offensive deployment of various military assets, including more than 14 war vessels, the largest aircraft carrier in the world, the largest aircraft carrier worldwide, including 15,000 military troops in Latin American territory. This is an unprecedented military deployment. We here are talking about money and the lack of money currently. The U.S. deployment in the Caribbean costs between $5 and $15 million every day, purely in logistical expenditure. Since September 2025, when the attacks first began against fishing vessels, 94 days have since passed, which implies a total expenditure which at a minimum runs to at least $470 million, and at the time when the Gerald Ford aircraft carrier was deployed, the largest worldwide, this cost has soared to an expenditure of $1.14 billion. $1.14 billion. And I'm repeating it here at this duty station, which has had to significantly curtail its budget. Based on the pretext of combating the illicit trafficking in drugs in the region, the United States is creating a grave precedent of violation of the procedural system that we member states have agreed upon since 1961. Since September 2025, when this campaign of harassment and threats first began against Venezuela, the United States have jeopardized regional and international peace, security, and stability. The U.S. authorities have authorized more than 20 lethal kinetic strikes, as they put it, targeting small vessels in the Caribbean and in the Eastern Pacific, causing the extrajudicial assassination of more than 80 people. Chair, United Nations experts in Geneva have already warned in the form of official statements that these attacks targeting vessels can be deemed as, and I quote, extrajudicial, summary, or arbitrary executions. outside of the bounds of legitimate national defense, or in the context of any international or internal armed conflict against individuals who do not pose an imminent threat to life, end of quote. Nor was there any attempt on the part of the United States to capture or seize the occupants of these vessels, nor to date have they been able to present any evidence that would justify the use of lethal force. Accordingly, these experts are of the view, these specialized experts, that the United States have violated the fundamental principles of international law, prohibiting the arbitrary deprivation of life, causing the assassination, the murder of Venezuelans, Trinidadians, Jamaicans, Colombians, Mexicans, and undoubtedly nationals of other countries too, of other Latin American and Caribbean countries. And to date, no verifiable information has been provided regarding the origin of these vessels, nor the nationality of the crew members, nor indeed the contents of those vessels, or indeed their destination. We firmly, therefore, denounce the fact that accepting these types of threats as a status quo would mean the failure and the defeat of the UNODC, which is something we believe must be rejected, these forms of summary or extrajudicial executions. The application of any form of international drug control measure must be carried out pursuant to international law, ensuring due process, respect for human rights, seizure for traceability purposes, and all, absolutely all, other measures that are linked to the appropriate use of criminal justice in combating the illicit trafficking of drugs and related crime. Chair, this flagrant violation of international law does not only affect Venezuela. The aggressor government stated on the 2nd of December that any country that they consider to be a country that produces or traffics drugs to the United States of America, I quote, could be attacked, end of quote. The illegal imposition of a de facto blockade, an air blockade against my country, the daily military acts of provocation and the fabrication of false narratives in order to justify military intervention in Venezuela are grave violations of international law and of the Charter of the United Nations, while at the same time posing a threat to stability throughout the Latin American and Caribbean region, which has been declared a zone of peace. We appeal to the international community to defend the Charter of the United Nations and to fully reject any attempt to justify the use of or threat of use of force based on legal pretexts that contravene international law in order to prevent a conflict based on coercion, disinformation, and unilateralism. We believe that the CCPCJ and the CND serve to uphold the rule of law outside of the sound of bombings and bombshells, which must end immediately.
That was the ambassador for the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, Her Excellency Claudia Salerno Caldera, speaking December 4th at the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's audio port service. Find this edition of Century, along with an archive of past shows, at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh.
For the Drug Truth Network,
long.
This is Doug
so
McVeigh
long.
Asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.